When we look at our world, we find that the time for certain things is limited. In this part of America, we have, for the remainder of this year, a limited number of nice days. If earlier this year we planted a garden, there was a limited time when we could take crops from the ground. Certain flowers can only be grown during a limited time in the north. Even snow can only come during a certain time, and I think at least some of us are grateful for that. In Amos 8, we read about an event that occurred at a limited period in the nation of Israel. The prophet in Amos 8:1 says that he saw a basket of summer fruit. God used this image to introduce another vision to him. And the vision begins this way. Thus the Lord Jehovah showed me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. Now, perhaps for most of us, we can read that first verse, and it does not mean a lot to us. To Amos, however, this particular image was especially significant. You may remember from chapter 7 and verse 14 that Amos was someone who worked with fig trees. As a person who worked with crops, as a person who worked with trees, he knew something about harvesting. He understood when he saw this particular vision that the summer fruit was the last crop that was grown in Israel. And when this crop came, if things were not ripe by this time, they were not going to ripen. It was too late. If this crop were not picked and used, it was impossible to save it. The summer fruit signified the end of the harvest year for the Hebrews. And this had symbolical value. And God explained the importance of this imagery in verse 2. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? You know, you're familiar with harvesting. You know how the crops work. And God said, what do you see? And he said, a basket of summer fruit. And now notice the application. Then said Jehovah unto me, the end is come upon my people Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. God said the end had come upon the nation of Israel. Just as this basket of summer fruit signified the end of the growing season, so God said the end had come for his people. It was not going to be a whole lot longer before the nation was punished. God said, I cannot pass by the nation anymore. As you look at the earlier chapters in the book, you have some information as to why God made this statement, but you also have some reasons in Amos chapter 8, and tonight we want to look at a few of those. This evening I want to explore one more of the reasons why God said that his people had to be destroyed. The reason that is given in Amos 8 is almost unbelievable. Imagine that after tonight's service, you stop by Kroger's. You decide that you're out of breakfast cereal, and you like your cereal in the morning before you do what you normally do. So you stop, and you buy a box of cereal. As you look at Oat Brand or Apple Jacks, whatever the box is that you buy, it says that inside the box there are 22 ounces of cereal. You buy that box believing that 22 ounces are actually in that particular box, but the information on the label is wrong. In this illustration, imagine, if you will, that the company that boxed the cereal intentionally cheated you. Instead of 22 ounces being in the box, let's say that the company only boxed up 15 ounces. In this illustration, we need to, if we're going to understand Amos 8, take it one step further. Suppose that in the manufacturing process of this cereal, some of it fell on the floor. You know, maybe with our factories, that's not a problem. But in this scenario, let's assume that some did fall on the floor, and it was a dirty floor. Rather than sweeping that up and throwing that in the trash bin or disposing of it in some other way, the people who were at this particular company thought, you know, we need to go ahead and make every penny that we can. So we're going to sweep that up. And as we sweep that up, we're also going to sweep up the dirt and the grime on the floor. And we're going to combine everything that we can extract from the floor, and we're going to put that back into the cereal bin so that when the boxes are filled, some folks are going to get a little bit more than the cereal. They're going to get some dirt, dust, and grime and dirt from the factory. Well, of course, the mixture of the filth and cereal would be used to make more boxes. So in the illustration we're talking about, you've not only been shorted 5 ounces, you've not only gone from 22 ounces to literally 15, but of that 15 ounces, you also have to take out perhaps 4, 5, 6, maybe a half of the 15 ounces because dirt and grime are in the box. How would you feel if tomorrow morning you shook out the box and that's what you had in your breakfast cereal? Some dirt, some grime, and some Apple Jacks. Now, if you think that is far-fetched, look at what is said in Amos 8. We're going to start with verse 5. This passage describes the businessmen in the days of Amos, saying, and this is coming from the businessmen, when will the new moon be gone that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and dealing falsely with balances of deceit? Have we ever seen people who wanted to worship and then hurry away? We sometimes find people who zip in from worship, and on a regular basis, they want to hurry home and watch the ball game. Others stop for worship, but they're always eager to see how quickly they can leave so they can go out and eat or do something else. The businessmen in the days of Amos could not wait for Saturday to get over. The day of worship came, but they couldn't concentrate on worship. They were thinking about the next day. They were thinking about Sunday. These were fellows who thought about the clock, and they were thinking about profits round the clock. And because they were anxious to get back to the business and cheat people, they didn't like the day of worship. The day of worship was a time when people were forbidden from transacting business. And that meant that they could not have their shop open on Saturday. So it was like they watched the clock and, you know, they were thinking about, you know, how soon they could get open the next day. It was almost as if the day of worship was a form of torture. They found it hard to wait until the first work day, that day, of course, being Sunday. And these men, God understood, God knew their hearts, and he said, they asked, when will the new moon be gone? How much longer, you know, must we worship before the Sabbath day is over? These people wanted to hurry through worship so they could get back to their everyday lives. If we want to draw some lessons from Amos 8, here is the first one. God does not like a hurry-up attitude when we worship or when we serve him. Our worship service to him may be short or long. There is no biblical command, there is no Bible example on how long a worship service is supposed to be. However, we must also add that if some come to worship thinking, I want it to be over with fast, that's wrong. Part of the problem with hurry-up worship is found in John 4:24. Jesus said that God is spirit and he must be worshipped in spirit. Some worship in spirit, but it is the wrong spirit. The right spirit says that we want to worship God and we will participate in the service. The wrong spirit, and that's what we have in Amos 8, is we want to get this process over with as quickly as we can so we can go about our everyday lives. There's a second lesson in Amos 8, and this relates to the verse that was just read, Amos 8:5. At the end of this verse, the prophet described false balances. That expression has been easily illustrated by those who are archaeologists. The people who have dug in the dirt have found that shopkeepers from the time of Amos had two different sets of weights. Weights, of course, were the thing that was used when people went to the store. And if somebody wanted to buy a flour or some kind of grain, the shop owner had a set of weights, and perhaps, you know, they were marked to use our system of measuring. They will say that they were ounces. A person came in and said, I want 20 ounces of flour. The shopkeeper had a scale. He would put the 20-ounce stone on one side of the scale, and then he'd begin dumping wheat on the other side of the scale. And when they balanced, then he said, well, here are the 20 ounces of wheat, and this is the amount of money that you need to pay. Well, these business people were slick. Amos affirms that they were thieves. They were people who were crooked. You see, these people, and again, this relates to making the ephah small and the shekel great. These people, they would take that 20-ounce stone, and what they would do is they would turn it on its side, and they would hollow it out. And then kind of putty that up a little bit. So they'd say, well, here's a 20-ounce stone, and we're going to go ahead and weigh that for you. The problem was that 20-ounce stone, it was marked as 20 ounces, and perhaps it originally was 20 ounces, but by the time they got through hollowing out, you know, it was no longer 20 ounces. It may have weighed 12. It may have weighed 15 ounces. So every customer who came through and used the faulty weights, they got cheated. People were cheated, and they did not know it. Well, not every customer was a buyer. There were some customers who were sellers. And this explains why the shopkeepers had two sets of weights. Sometimes there were people who came in and they wanted to sell something. For the sake of our purposes, let's say that a man came into the shop and he wanted to sell some gold dust. Well, again, the shopkeepers were willing to cheat people, so on the second set of weights, they would also hollow out the weights. But in this case, they were buying a product. So it didn't make sense to do it how it was just described. So what they would do, that 20-ounce stone, they would hollow that out and fill that with the heavier material. So even though the stone might say 20 ounces, maybe it would weigh 30. Or maybe it would weigh 32. So when that fella is putting his gold dust on the scale, what he thinks is equal to 20 ounces, actually, he is perhaps putting 30 or 35 ounces on the scale. Those who sold things to shopkeepers had to give more of their product than was really necessary. And that's what Amos is describing in Amos 8:5. That's what he meant by making the ephah small and the shekel great. These shopkeepers compounded their sins by doing what's described in verse 6, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes. And then he said, and sell the refuse of the wheat. the people sold the refuse of the wheat. Just as now, when people weigh things, if they're taking things out of a barrel, some of the product normally falls on the floor. Most of us perhaps have bought grass seed at one time or another. We went down to the store, they had a large barrel, they kind of dipped it up and they dumped it in the bag, and some of the seed fell on the floor. Well, you know, maybe they dumped the seed back in the barrel, maybe not. But imagine if you were in a place, perhaps a grocery store. There have been some stores in the past, and I think in Shipshewana you can still buy some things this way. Imagine going to a place where they're dipping some things out of the barrel, and they are putting them into a bag, and some of the items fall on the floor. We would be fit to be tied. If that person who dropped some things and the floor was already dirty, they came along, they just swept it up with the